You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
O'clock hour here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Bring us back a little jazz, a little piano as well mixed in, I think I hear.
Oh, what's good? Friday
vibe. You good over there? You good?
No, I'm good.
Frisco's
more of like an alternative vibe, not a smooth jazz vibe.
So there's something on YouTube called Chill Hop, and they come out for each season of the year for the last like 4 or 5 years. It's just like relaxing.
I mean, I like it.
Chill instrumentals, essentially. Usually,
on a Friday, I'm just surprised. In general, it's chill. I'm good with it. Anyway, we'll get to the
track. As soon as Taylor Swift comes out with a new album, then, you know, we're going to pump in a little
Perfect. Track 12 in particular, I think. Track 12 is the one that everybody's talking about already.
Her and Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah, we'll get to the trash of the day. In the meantime, I want to talk some more Chiefs football because I want to get Joshua Briscoe's perspective on not only tonight's preseason game, and he, of course, will be hosting pre and post right here on 96.5 The Fan for the Chiefs Radio Network. But Briscoe, where are you at on the Rice update we got yesterday where it looks like we now have to wait for this hearing September 30th? And then even then, it could be weeks and weeks after that before we get the suspension.
It's a really good question, and I'm sorry to ignore it off the top. Drew, I've got you. A little lo-fi Friday had me in the exact right headspace. Yeah. I heard that, and I was grooving back here thinking, all right, we're going to have a nice little chill Friday before the game comes around tonight. To your point there, Gold, you've probably, if you're half as online as I am, you've probably seen every possible iteration of what the Rashee Rice update means for the Chiefs, for the league. It's great news for the Chiefs. It's terrible news for the Chiefs. It's the league pulling the strings. It's obviously, this one's true, it's obviously a CBA process that players can go through when they're trying to figure out what their suspensions is going to be. So, by and large, there's never going to be a great time for the Chiefs to be without Rashee Rice this season. They're probably going to be without him for a chunk of the year. If you said, hey, would you like to just get 4 games out of the way and have it all at the front end of the season? Sure, I'd hear the argument there. If you said, hey, could we really finagle that suspension to be like Jags, Lions, Raiders, Commanders and have him on the field for the Ravens and Bills game? Sure, that's the best case scenario for the Chiefs, and if it winds up that way, cool. It would just be because that's the process that you can go through in the CBA. So by and large, I really don't think this is either tremendous news nor terrible news for the Chiefs. It is certainly not a deep state NFL conspiracy, regardless of how much Twitter I've been on this morning and how bad that is for me. it's going to be a mess to work without Rashee Rice either way. It would be huge, obviously, to have him for that Ravens game, which is 2 days before this date has been set. So you want to have him out there for then. Maybe it helps Jalen Royals get a little more time before he has to step into that role. But on the other hand, it probably cost you a roster spot for one of those receivers who would have otherwise made the cut. Your Nico, your Jason Brownlee, I think Tyquan Thornton's probably my last one in. Somebody's not going to make the team because it seems like now Rice will be on the roster at the 53-man cutdown instead of being exempt from that being suspended. So there are silver linings and clouds all over. Truthfully, I don't think this is that big of a deal other than it being really interesting and not a part of the NFL suspension process that we see very often.
Do you think that Mike Florio would strangle a seal in order to get a click?
Man, what an awesome question. It really stinks because the stuff he'd been doing with Pablo Torre and all the NFLPA stuff, I had said publicly at some point, like, you know what? Florio's stacking up a couple of good days here. Maybe we're gonna have a little bit of a face turn for Florio, and then this happens. And yeah, I would say that all seals in his vicinity should probably just be careful.
I just like the way I view it, and like I know this like deep state stuff, but my biggest fear is what does the NFL so. In-season suspensions are rare anyway. They've already happened twice for the Chiefs, so they might not feel rare here with Willie Gay and Frank Clark, but they are rare. If, because the last time they had an appeal process, I think it's pretty clear that if it was four games, he would have just accepted it. So clearly, whatever the NFL wanted was more than four. And so if the NFL wants, let's say, 8-10, and he wanted 2-4, and they go to Sue L, and she says 6, but what if the NFL appeals? What if Rice appeals? Like if they go through this process again, it could be months. Like, if it's December 1st, are they still going to suspend him this year before she makes her decision? Like, that's what I'm worried about.
I would be a little bit worried about that also, and I'd be lying if I told you exactly, if I knew exactly what those next appeal process steps would be after her ultimate ruling. But obviously, we know that those can drag on, and we've already heard, you know, she's the one that oversaw the final word on the Deshaun Watson thing, which again, just for the record for everybody, I know you guys know this, it's not because the NFL is treating those as equally serious, it's no. Because they've both been, like, appealed out or not settled.
They went through their process of approval. They are allowed to... appeal things the NFL has decided.
So I do kind of hope, and maybe my view on this would change if I knew what the numbers were, I do kind of hope that we get to September 30th and we have a ruling pretty soon after that, and everybody from the NFL side, from the Chiefs side, from Rice's side, can just kind of say, hey, this is the logical conclusion of this. What I would be really hammering from the Chiefs or Rashee Rice's side here, and look, like, you know, he got in serious trouble, he did a bad thing, and I'm not arguing against, like, discipline for that, obviously. But if I'm putting on my, like, defense lawyer hat, I'd say Jordan Addison just got 3 games for something that was pled down from a DUI. Start there. Don't start at 10, 11, 12 games. Start at 3, and let's see where we can meet. I think Rice would have a legitimate, pretty good argument for that, just looking at precedent and how the NFL has handled similar things in the past. So that, to me, is probably also why this has gotten to this point, where I think you could have really said, from Rice's side, give us the Addison suspension or maybe one game more. And I think the NFL, to your point, probably was itching for a much larger number and wanting to come down pretty hard on him as an example. And I also understand that. But I don't think the NFL has a tremendous case to make for an 8, 9, 10 game suspension with their own precedent working against them.
We're talking to Joshua Briscoe here on 96.5 The Fan, of course. Pre-game coverage tonight for their Chiefs preseason game in Seattle starts at 8:00 on the Chiefs Radio Network. Briscoe will be hosting pre and post here on 96.5 The Fan. I know we obviously want to keep an eye on a little preseason football, but a Friday at 9:00 when Mahomes and Travis aren't playing anyway, I'll be honest, Josh, but people should be listening to you at 8:00, but at 11:00 or so, I don't know if how much paying attention people are going to be doing.
Look, I have already told my parents, who are on the East Coast now, they're in Florida. I said, look, if you don't make it through postgame tonight, I'm not going to hold it against you. You're on East Coast time. That's even crazier. We're going to have great stuff for you. We're going to talk to Mitch about whatever happens in the game. We're going to go around the league a little bit, whatever other game happens, one other game earlier today. And we'll have things to discuss. The thing that I'm looking forward to, and like, I am truly a sicko about this. Like, I actually do have some energy for a 9 p.m. Central Time kickoff preseason game, because I am looking at, like, Issa Pole. Ethan Driscoll won't be out there. I want to know, like, Chu Godrick being the two developmental tackles kind of fighting for those final roster spots, or maybe getting snuck to the practice squad. There are guys here that will have long-term impacts for this team, and then even on the interior offensive line, I don't know if we're going to see a ton of Mike Caliendo, but we're going to find out for Hunter Norzad and CJ Hansen. Hey, guys, this might be the scene from The Dark Knight where the Joker snaps a pool cue over his knee and throws it out and says, hey, we got one opening. And again, you hope that you can get these guys in the practice squad as well. But there are actual battles to be had, despite the fact that, yeah, it sounds like we're probably going to see Gardner Minshew, and then after that, quite a bit of Bailey Zappe and Chris Oladokun throughout the night. It's still Chiefs football in a Chiefs uniform, and we're still going to have the high-quality coverage you've grown to expect from the Chiefs radio network.
That's right.
I don't know how to sell it better than that.
I think my least favorite thing about preseason is that you finally get through the games that are fake, and then I still have to wait weeks to get a real game.
Yeah.
It's like, come on! Get it closer or something. I hate that I have to, like, get through the preseason games and they're like, huh, now how much longer do I got to wait?
Yeah,
to get, like, unless you get college football, I guess, in between. So you got something to fill the time.
Oh, my brain is only calibrated to Chiefs football. I enjoy college football, but nothing scratches the same itch as actual Chiefs football games. It does seem like maybe there's a chance we see some of these guys at Arrowhead next week, by the way that Andy Reid mentioned it. And maybe we don't. Maybe you get two snaps of Patrick Mahomes from the preseason, and then it's on to Brazil.
I'd be the least he's played in a preseason in his career, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Andy's reining it in while everyone else dials it up. It's so funny he's going to zig when everyone else started finally playing their quarterbacks in preseason.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And this is total projection. I do not know. But I wonder if there's anything with, hey, this is like a late, weird, super West Coast game. We're going to have the full week again to kind of get ready, a full bye week effectively between the third preseason game and the start of the regular season. And maybe we get to just have these guys go suit up at Arrowhead and get a few snaps that third week. Obviously, that's a bigger injury risk, because if you have a 2-week injury 2 weeks before the season kicks off, Now you're limping into the regular season. But I wonder if we see a little bit of that, if Mahomes would like to get a couple of reps out there. But yeah, two reps in, I guess three if you count the penalty. Three reps in week one, and then potentially a shutout tonight is a big departure from the norm for Mahomes. And I also even thought about, you know, Andy Reid having not having the staggered entrance to training camp this year. Like, there have been a couple of small things that he's done differently, which matters, because Andy Reid does not do stuff like that differently on a year-to-year basis. I think it's kind of interesting.
Briscoe, do you think that Andy Reid, or do you think that Jim Harbaugh, I guess, knowing the complicated nature, do you think Jim Harbaugh will attempt to steal signs in the NFL?
I don't know what the NFL is security measures have maybe been cranked up. You know, in the NFL, people may forget, but there was this other dynasty before the Chiefs took over the league, and there was some talk about, you know, some information being gained in improper ways. So, you know, I'll tell you what, if any of that does happen, I'm sure ProFootballTalk.com will be the place that you can read about it, regardless of if it's happening or not.
Perfect. Briscoe, appreciate it, man. There you go. That's Josh Briscoe. Listen tonight, 8 o'clock, Chiefs Radio Network pregame coverage here on 96.5 The Fan. Briscoe hosting pre and post. And, of course, during the game, Mitch Holthus, Dane and Hughes, Josh Klingler on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Yeah, the Michigan stuff we'll get back into in the noon hour today. If you're just tuning in for the first time, the NCAA finally has resolved the punishments, their investigation on Michigan and the sign stealing, Connor Stallions whole thing. Remember that?
It's seems be a like great a, 30 for 30, I'm guessing.
Oh, was there somebody
maybe
already
was?
I don't know if it was a 30 for somebody
people
already
turn
did.
Around pretty quick.
Yeah, somebody already did something on Stallions. I don't know if it was a 30 for 30, but there was.
I think there's some sort of a thing on
that guy,
on Connor Stallions in particular,
but
and the mystery that he was.
But it wasn't just him. It was
an operation. Yeah.
A massive operation that you could never claim that he was unaware of.
Yeah, Harbaugh obviously knew.
It's very, very, very similar to what was taking place during the Patriots dynasty, when they were recording practices, therefore getting signs, therefore knowing what the other team was doing, giving them a massive leg up against the teams in which they were facing.
And in that case, there was fines and some draft picks. And in this case, some scholarship reduction, no postseason bans, no vacating titles. Show cause essentially banning Harbaugh, who's not going back to college anyway, but banning him for, you know, 10 years. I mean, it's a tricky thing in terms of the punishment that needs to be handled out. Like I hear what you're saying about there needs to be a deterrent. I get it. I just don't know I don't know what the perfect solution is, because I also don't believe in vacating the titles, because we all saw it happen. So I don't know how do you prevent it from happening, but also not hurt the freshman that's at Michigan right now that did nothing wrong, that got recruited. It's his dream to play there, and he's done nothing wrong. How do you not hurt him? It's a tough spot. I honestly don't know what the answer. If your answer is vacate the title, I firmly disagree,
because we all benefited from it,
you know, but we all know what happened. Like we all still know that Harbaugh won a national championship.
I know, but he won it under
Belichick still won those titles. We don't deduct rings from Belichick.
I don't know why we don't. I mean, okay, honestly, right. Like I understand you're saying like I witnessed it and it was a thing, but if the entire Kansas City Royals the rest of this year cork their bats and then go on to win a World Series, they shouldn't get to win a World Series if everybody.
Well,
had
the
Astros.
What is it? Nothing's happened with the Astros.
I know.
Is it?
Well, I know. I'm not saying that things haven't happened, but they also don't deserve their title. Like to cheat for an entire year and then find out you've been cheating this entire time. Look, largely what happens is the public discourse. Like when you and I get down to the nitty gritty, and let's say Patrick Mahomes finished with 5 rings, and someone's like, "He's not better than Brady." Be like, "Bull! His team won championships while actively cheating. So I'm going to use that against you for the rest of time."
Yeah, that's your choice. Yeah.
And I will hold that against him as far as like my, you know, like the public perception view of them. But they wouldn't, you know, no Astros player, no Astros owner. That's the problem with Michigan is, like Drew said earlier, would this deter anybody? I'm like, hell no. Every single team in college football, Missouri, Kansas, Texas, they'd all pay $20 million and take all of these penalties if it meant they won a national championship this year. They wouldn't care. It is not a deterrent in any way. My thought is that you got to hurt the program, not the kids. So this year, there's not much you can do, right? You just got the penalty. Moving forward, the next 4 years, you get 25% of the total number of scholarships you normally get. Less people are just coming to Michigan. Everybody who comes from here on out.
Wouldn't that still be hurting the current kids? Because if I'm a quarterback there and I know I can't have the same talent around me.
You can leave whenever you
want. Sure, but you would agree, though, that in theory, it is hurting still the current kids.
It is, but because of the transfer portal, they can leave. They now have a choice. And if it is hurting them, they don't have to stick around Michigan.
Okay.
They get a choice in whether or not to stay. I want it to hurt the people who will go to Michigan now for the future. I don't want people going to Michigan now for a few years because they don't deserve the talent they were getting because they deserve as a university to be set back in some way
if you say university,
they gave themselves.
When you said university, that makes more sense. A second ago you said, I want to hurt the people that are there now. That makes no sense.
No. I want to hurt the university. Not the players. Right. The players would get a choice. They get a player under the normal circumstances this year. They've committed to these terms. They're here at Michigan knowing the people who are supposed to be around them. Moving forward, every new scholarship you offer, you only get offered 25% of those moving forward. So now people have to decide, do I go to Michigan with no scholarship, or what's most likely going to happen, I'm going to choose a different school to go to. The university should not be the group that got away with it. Because Harbaugh, can't do anything to Harbaugh. Sadly, there is no out in a 65-year-old coach chooses to go to the NFL. His ass is just never, he's just never going to get punished. Like, unless you write into these contracts when you work for a school at the NCAA, we can still financially fine you.
We're going to get back into this. By the way, Texter, no, they did not. Someone said the Astros got stripped of the World Series. No, they did not. That was the whole issue. People were mad they didn't get stripped of the World. That was, no.
We think in our heads that they did. Someone says, do you consider Jim Harbaugh a cheater? Yes.
Yeah, and so do I.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's absolutely a cheater. I don't have an issue with the 2023 title being stripped away because it did happen. But anyway, we'll get back into this.
Bill Belichick's a cheater too. Yeah. You're just saying that those people don't deserve to have.
I'm not
taking titles or Final Fours.
Tom Brady still has the same amount of rings that he has.
This is the stupid. The NCAA basketball is the only group that seemingly has been willing to do it. They've taken away Final Fours, Elite Eights, and championships.
They have.
And
remember, college football.
Take Reggie Bush's Heisman away then. I watched him win Heisman. That's, they
eventually reinstated it because they realized that was a mistake. And obviously, the rules have changed. I would say the difference is, Cody, as we know, the college football playoff, which was the national title that Michigan won, that system is not run by the NCAA.
Yeah. True.
Versus college basketball, the tournament is run by the NCAA. Right. That might honestly be the answer why they can't strip it. There may just not
college
be
a football playoff would have to take it away, not the NCAA.
Yeah, just can't. I don't know. We'll get back to it. Let's get to the trash of the day. All right, two options. Let's do two quick ones since we didn't have one yesterday. Number one, this one goes to Greenville, I think South Carolina. Yes, South Carolina.
I've been to Greenville. That's where my friend lives.
Really? Nice place.
Love it.
Okay. Is it near Charleston?
It's closer to Clemson.
Yeah, it's more inland. It's like closer to kind of like the Georgia area.
Columbia-ish, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So a couple teens there are accused of stealing a train and derailing it. So two teens in a county there named Lawrence County sneaked into train yards overnight. They started up three engines. So impressive they were able to even figure out how
country
to do that.
Kids, man. Yeah.
They started three locomotives for a joyride on Saturday. They drove around the yard, then they headed towards Greenville. When they tried to return the engines, they crashed into parked rail cars, caused a derailment that damaged one of the cars. They now face charges like burglary, grand larceny, damaging property, and harming railroad equipment. They've been sent to the Juvenile Justice Center in Columbia, South Carolina. The police chief warned that train yards are not playgrounds and that such actions are very dangerous. And to be honest, dumb.
Do you think they would have gotten away with it if they just didn't crash it returning?
The wreck is what screwed them over.
If they could have just worked the brakes, they would have gotten away with it? I got in teenage trouble.
That'd be a heck of a story.
They took the train, left a different town, and were able to get to another part of town. They were good until they tried to park them back.
Dang.
They didn't know how to stop them properly.
That'd be a heck of a story like 30 years from now if they did make it. Like, hey, do you remember when we did this?
Do you think if you just hopped right in the middle of the locomotive, could you start the thing up and get it moving? Do you think you could figure that out?
Right now?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
It feels like it's a few too many levers or buttons for like my comfort. Like there's just a few.
There's a lot going on.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, my what only are you more experience likely? Inside a train engine would be like the things you saw in old Western movies. They still work that way?
Now you're,
or have they gone the way of technology and it's a couple of buttons?
Now, would you agree that you're more likely to be able to start that train and get it moving than start the aircraft and actually get that thing up in the air?
Yeah, 100%. Way better chance.
Eventually, you hit a bunch of buttons, you figure the thing's going to move forward. The plane, there's a lot more going on there in trying to get that thing.
Well, in a far more nerve-wracking situation. If the train doesn't get started, I'm still on the ground.
Yes. The you plane, know, you the get plane, up a little it's bit, like, it's coming right back down.
Even if it starts and we were rolling, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm gonna crash. Which one is it? And like, I think I pulled this one back. No, be way more terrifying. The train may get moving.
Yeah, there's somebody I'm sure listening that works for like BNSF Railroad or something like that. That's like, it could explain more like how difficult is it to do what these kids apparently did.
Somebody says you'd be surprised the kind of thing you can find online. The one thing I will say is
there is train kids simulator. Know how to get YouTube. There's train simulator video games. Like, I'm not even kidding. You can go on your Xbox and play 100%. A train simulator.
Like right now, I just looked at how to make a 3-point turn on YouTube, and there are step by step instructions of what buttons to press on the train. So there's at least a chance you could get the train move. But what I mean. Did they just randomly go out that night? Were they watching these videos for weeks and then trying to decide how to do it?
So that's one trash of the day. Here's another one for you. This one goes to Utah. A 53-year-old woman wasn't happy with her smartphone. Like, you know, just like the phone's freezing up, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
maybe the battery. Like, she needed a new phone, maybe. Well, she tried to resolve the issue on Saturday evening. Police received a call from a man reporting a bullet hole in his fence. This followed an earlier call in which a gunshot was heard while a man and woman were arguing. Officers questioned the neighbor where it was learned, it was discovered, that the lady of the house was angry about her phone and allegedly thought the solution was to shoot it. So she told police the whole thing was an accident, but refused to elaborate. She tried to shoot her phone and instead shot the neighbor's fence. Yep. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just like do the Office Space thing and take like a sledgehammer to it or something at the very least. If you're mad at technology.
Where is that again, Gold?
Utah. I don't know where in Utah.
Shot her phone?
Jeez. Yeah, like phone. I'm sick of this phone.
Another reason,
we need some better gun safety.
Another reason not to go there.
What's true?
Another reason not to go there.
Yeah, you are a hater on Utah.
That's right.
We're not going there.
Drew doesn't like Utah.
One time I went to Salt Lake, it seemed.
It's beautiful.
Other than beautiful state, all the gelled up 6-year-olds and the lack of alcohol, seemed like a perfectly nice state.
It's a beautiful state, but.
Salt Lake City
is
gorgeous, yeah. I've been there twice. When I lived out in Boise, obviously Utah's right there. And I've driven down to Salt Lake City before, and it is beautiful. There's there's certain things that some people may not enjoy, but yeah.
Someone from the 816, I'm a 20-year-old railroader, or a 20-year railroader,
Okay.
And it is a process to
start a locomotive. So.
No, I imagine it's multiple things. Like, you gotta, like, release the air brakes, and you gotta, like, start... You got to like warm it up before. Who knows? God knows. I assume like parts of the engine have to be running before you actually get the locomotive. Like
the thing
going,
that I picture is in the Polar Express. You're taking the coal and tossing it in, you know, to get the thing going. I'm sure
they're still running coal trains everywhere.
Well, I would assume not.
I don't think there's just some dude like with
that's what I picture.
Like covered in soot shoveling.
A lot of
them
are diesel, probably. A lot of them are probably diesel. Yeah, is my guess. Cool.
But like YouTube, I will say there's a lot to be learned. Probably in the YouTube.
Are you going to go home and watch?
We've discovered a couple projects on this show in the last 24 hours. One, Cody needs to experience Texas Roadhouse for the first time in his life. We've had multiple people offer to take you there. So that's
one. Really want me to go to Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, they want us as a show to go there. You haven't been, which is crazy. So that's one. The other one is somebody said they're a railer. They offer we need like whether it's BNSF or CPKC. Let's get in
a
locomotive. Let's get in a locomotive.
Can you do a
That'd
ride along
awesome.
Like with a cop? You put on a locomotive.
I'm sure somebody can help us out. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Someone says shooting the phone's even funnier than a train.
I think it is for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how you tried to solve the problem.
Uh huh.
Sure.
Up next, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, including a couple of predictions game by game and how they settled on the Chiefs record. It might surprise you. Next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Someone pointed out that they said add to the list of the three things you guys need to do. Not only Roadhouse, not only Locomotive, but also the mashed potatoes.
Oh, the Bob Evans mashed potatoes?
Hang on. Do you guys want, while you guys are doing the Chiefs Red Half Hour, do you want me to run over here to Target real quick and get...
Can you get them there?
Maybe. I have no idea.
Do you want to wait till Monday?
I don't care. I mean, we can wait till Monday.
I'll look on the Target app to see if they're even...
Let me look.
If you missed the show early in the week... Drew made dinner, and Cody was critical of the mashed potatoes. He thought they were instant, and we said, no, they're not instant. And we said, no, the Bob Evans refrigerated ones are actually pretty decent.
They do not have them on Target. We'll have to bring them.
Okay. And Cody wants to try them and give his Iron Chef opinion.
Iron Chef.
So they're refrigerated?
They are.
They're not good. You have been chopped. You know, that's what Cody's going
to say. So we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait till Monday. All right, let's talk a little bit about what Sports Illustrated did, which is something from Connor Orr. And he went game by game, all 272 games, all right?
Wow.
To project all 32 final records, all 14 playoff spots. And I'm not going to go game by game, but obviously the Chiefs part was a little interesting. I was like, all right, what does he have down for the Chiefs and some of the losses and also the final record and his reasoning? So he has the Chiefs going 11-6. Now, this came out before we knew that Rice is going to play week one. I guess that's important to note.
No, he's still going to miss time, I think.
We think. We don't have many, but we think. He has him going 11-6 and losing to the Giants. Okay, so here's his write-up. Quote, I decided to split the difference and have Kansas City eke out the division by a game. I have the Chiefs losing a highly ridiculous game to the Giants to start the season 1-2. Mostly so we can round out those Patriot comparisons and talk about why the latter year Tom Brady teams tended to start slow. So he thinks they still win the division at 11 games by a game. So he thinks the Broncos or the Chargers win 10. I didn't go and look to see what he has them, but he thinks 11 wins gets the AFC West done. Before I go to the games that he has them losing, let's start there. Do you think 11 games is good enough to win the AFC West this year?
No, I think it's 12 at minimum.
Same. If you tell me that any team, Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, win 11, 12. I would say, well, you didn't win the division. That's not good enough.
Wasn't good enough last year.
It hasn't been good enough in a while.
Wouldn't have been good enough any year except for the one year the Chiefs won it at 11-6.
Yeah.
The year that Patrick Mahomes missed some time and they didn't get the one seed and they had to go. But like, that's it. Outside of that, I would say it wasn't one way or the other. So no, I don't think that. So, I think what confused me about this write-up is he thinks that that's their ceiling. Their ceiling is 11 or 12 wins, with their floor being more in the 9-10 range.
Yeah, he has the Chiefs going 11-6, the Broncos 10-7, the Chargers 10-7, the Raiders. What do you have them? I don't know, 7 wins or something like that. 8-9. So he has the West actually being
competitive,
very competitive, but ultimately 11 wins gets it done for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I don't see a world, and I guess this kind of goes into this. What do you think the absolute floor of this team is? As in, with their talent.
With the,
not you know how this works.
With Mahomes healthy fully and everything. Healthy. With Mahomes healthy, the main guy's healthy for 90% of the season. I actually think the floor is 11-6. I mean, I think this is the floor. I think the ceiling is 14.
Yeah, 14 or 15.
The ceiling,
I don't think 15 can be the ceiling. I just last year
they won 15 last year, and I think they're a better overall roster than they were a year ago.
I think it goes back to the 17 one score consecutive one score games won and things like that. I think 14's the ceiling. I think 13's the realistic number for them this year. But floor 11, ceiling 14, and by the way, that gets you the division. 14 wins puts you in play for the one seed. So I don't think it's 15 is just what they did last year is not normal. It's just not normal.
No, and most teams, I can't think of many, if any, in the history of NFL who've won 15 games in back-to-back years. Probably none, because there have only been a handful of 15-1 teams and only two of the undefeated regular season teams. So probably not many gold, admittedly.
Yeah, someone says 11-5 is only 16. No, he has them going 11-6.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has them going 11-6. He has them losing week one against the Chargers, by the way, winning week two in, against Philly, losing against the Giants. So yeah,
it's just crazy to think about.
And then win against Baltimore. He has them beating Jacksonville, losing to Detroit, beating the Raiders, Commanders, losing to Buffalo, bye week. Then they beat the Broncos, beat the Colts, lose to the Cowboys, beat the Texans, beat the Chargers, lose to the Tennessee Titans and Cam Ward in week 16.
So he has them losing to the Giants and the Titans in a single year?
That's how you get them to 11 wins, I guess. Oh, but Cody, they beat Philadelphia.
Baltimore and Buffalo.
They beat Washington.
Why do you just have him losing one more of those games and beating?
He has him sweeping Denver. Yeah, he has him sweeping Denver too. Interesting. Look, crazy results happen. If you tell me the Chiefs are beating Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Denver twice, but they're losing to Tennessee and the Giants.
What's the Chiefs win total at again this year?
11.5, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it is 11.5. When we got to Circa, yeah, 11.5.
I'll still take the over. I would be right 6 out of the last 7 years. And the only time I lost that bet, by the way, I ended up betting it when it went down to 10.5 in the year that they lost their opening game of the season and they covered it. Now, they only won 11, admittedly, but they do cover that number a lot. That's why the 11 doesn't make any sense.
Because unless Titans and Giants, come on.
Unless you think that the Chiefs' run of dominance is completely.
And a lot of people nationally think it is. If you're wondering, Buffalo, they have Buffalo. His numbers are suppressed anyway. He has Buffalo going 12-5. It's not like he has Buffalo winning 14 games. He has Buffalo going 12-5 and heading
Ravens
into
Ravens going 13.
He has
wins?
Them beating Kansas
no,
City.
The Ravens, he has 12-5, I think too.
He has Buffalo 12-5, losing week one against Baltimore. Then he has them winning 5 in a row: Jets, Dolphins, Saints, Patriots, Falcons. Bye week, lost to Carolina. Win against Kansas City.
Why is he picking like 70,000 upsets in this?
And then in the AFC North, because we know Drew's wondering. Baltimore, he has them going 12-5 and winning the division. He has Cincinnati going 10-7.
And being the playoff matchups, I don't know if you saw that, is very interesting.
I did not go to the playoff
matchups. All the way down to the bottom, playoff matchups.
Since we're talking about some of the better teams in the league, I do want to quickly mention.
He just ignored you, Drew, on Cincinnati.
Not going to. They're going to come up in this conversation. That's part of it.
Well, they just completely ignored what you said.
And as soon as you scroll to the bottom, they'll come up for who they would play.
Okay. I honestly am scrolling. It's just the webpage is going very slow. So I honestly am scrolling. I haven't gotten
anyway,
to the bottom
sorry,
yet.
Cody.
No, go ahead. How far? Are you there yet?
I am. And my computer's glitching. Here we go. The Chiefs end up as the 3 seed in the AFC at 11-6. The Broncos are the 5 seed. The Chiefs are the 3, so Bengals 6, so they would play the Bengals in the wild card round.
At Arrowhead?
Drew would spontaneously combust if that happened.
I would be so excited.
It'd be fun on this show, that's for sure.
I would be so amped up if that actually happened.
It'd be fun for this show, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No, I was pointing out, and I don't have the clip. It's not super important, but it actually kind of points out to the conversations we've been having about how people view the Chiefs in predicting the end of this. Because I think what's happening is people are trying to do both, and that's where my issue is. People are both trying to tell me that Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and these teams have all caught up with the Chiefs and they're just as good at quarterbacks and they're all on equal playing field. But Drew, the problem I have is a point that Nick Wright made on his show yesterday, which I think is very accurate to this, which is if Patrick Mahomes has an identical season to any of the seasons that the guys had last year, it would hurt his legacy, not help it.
You mean
if
like
Patrick
Josh
Mahomes
Allen
had 40 touchdowns?
Yeah.
No, or Joe Burrow. If he had 40 touchdowns, led the league in passing, led the league in passing touchdowns, and missed the playoffs, they'd kill him. If he won the MVP and lost to Josh Allen in the AFC championship game, they'd kill him.
That's because he lost, in the GOAT conversation. Joe Burrow's not in the GOAT conversation.
But they don't treat him like that. They don't treat him like he's
all
an
these articles are coming out and saying that he's not like
Josh Allen is just as good or better. You've got Joe Burrow is just as good or better. That Lamar Jackson is just as good or better.
But
that's crazy.
But that to me, it's different talking about the GOAT conversation and different who was better at quarterback last season.
I agree with that.
I think
Drew.
It's totally different.
I agree with that. But you would admit that there's already become a big shift in the tier conversations and all this, where everybody, I should say everybody, a lot more people nationally are truly saying that he's not the best quarterback in football. Listen to Rob Parker on, I think, Fox Sports Radio, which is on this station at times, by the way.
Patrick Mahomes is not N-O-T, a tier one quarterback.
So arrogant.
He didn't even say he's not a tier one quarterback. Like,
that's a dumb comment.
It's dumb if you don't say he's number one, but also
tier one?
But then he's not even tier one. What are we?
That's insane.
This is the kind of stuff I can't stand, but I understand that's what I guess people want.
N-O-T, a tier one quarterback.
Well, it's so arrogant from
this. Those are the people that are on the screamy shouty shows on ESPN these days.
I scream on this show sometimes, yes. But only sometimes.
I find it really
usually about ridiculous stuff, not about nonsensical stuff that doesn't track.
You said Connor Orr was the one who wrote the article, right?
Yeah.
So the best record period is 12-5. He doesn't have anybody.
Yeah, he's very
else.
Conservative
and,
with
and
his no, totals.
And the team, so he obviously has Baltimore and Buffalo. He has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going 12-5. And at first, I would be a little bit surprised. But you look
NFC's easy.
And the offense that there's a division they're in, and the offense that they're going to have or should have is crazy. Like Baker might have. If they go
25-1 to win MVP.
If they go 12-5 gold and they are the number one seed in the NFC. He's probably a finalist, like in the top three for MVP.
I'm not even kidding. I legitimately, my issue is the Tristan Wirfs injury, but on the offensive line. But I think at 25-1, Baker Mayfield is not a terrible MVP bet at all. We've talked about that before.
The worst one probably softens your confidence.
Don't like that. Someone was asking just other teams. I know it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour, but someone was asking about the Cowboys, given Jerry Jones's comments on a daily basis. They project the Cowboys as a 9-8 football team, which sounds about right, and missing the playoffs.
I think they're probably 9-10 win team.
Think about he has them starting 0-3. Can you imagine the freak out? The Cowboys, here's who they play. Philly. The
and
Giants,
Micah Parsons hasn't joined the team yet or something?
Philly, Giants, and Bears. If they start 0-3 against those teams, Brian Schottenheimer's going to be gone by week 7.
Who's going to get
paid
first?
I know Jerry doesn't normally fire coaches in season, but...
Is McLaurin going to get paid first or Micah?
McLaurin.
Yeah, I think...
I haven't heard anything on the McLaurin.
I mean, both of them are not good spots.
The Commanders... I know the Cowboys thing is egregious. Like, they should pay Micah Parsons entirely, but why is Washington not... Why are they sitting on their hands with this? He might be the best wide receiver you've had in recent memory. He's one of the best in franchise history. You just went to the playoffs last year with him as your number one wideout, and you don't have any other players like that who are of his caliber. Why are you not paying him? Is it because he's 31 or whatever
it's
his
the
age is?
McLaurin wants to be paid like a top receiver, understandably so, but you know this goes into two or three years, he's 32 years old, and they're worried about paying him. Now, I would argue... He's been a model citizen there. He's been the face of your franchise.
He's up with it.
He's been the only face of your franchise until Jaden Daniels showed up the last couple of years, the last year, I should say. And your quarterback's on a rookie deal, so to me, you can afford that. In 2 years, you might be paying Terry McLaurin a few extra bucks than you should be when Jaden Daniels' contract's not going to kick in for a couple of years. So that's the issue. Is he like? There's a legitimate reason why they don't want to pay him. I just think they're going to have to do something before the start of the season.
I get like the Connor's trying to predict every game, which makes it a lot more difficult when you're choosing these records. I don't understand how you could tell me that the floor is 10-6 because he's claiming the floor is 10 or 10-7. What changed on the Chiefs?
The AFC West is tougher than it's been. I think is the one reason why I would say it's 10-7.
The left tackle just got lost on the Chargers. The Broncos are identical to the team that they were last year, so they're not tougher. They are the
floor. The floor of the division.
The Raiders got tougher.
The floor of the division got better with Pete Carroll being in charge and Geno Smith as the quarterback. I think you're asking what happened. It's been the theme of the entire offseason. People are blinded by the Super Bowl. It is the biggest game on earth, and people saw the Chiefs get their ass kicked, and people have lost their minds because of it, and they think that's just what they are now, and it's over. And that's why I cannot wait for the, I've said it 100 times this offseason, the first 2 weeks of the year, man, for the Chiefs on YouTube Friday night, on the Sunday against Philly, who beat them in the Super Bowl on Fox. If the Chiefs go out there and win and look good, people just like that are going to flip back to hating the Chiefs even more and saying they're cheating again, and that means they're worried about them again. That's when
they're going to say, Rashira shouldn't have been playing in these games.
At some point this season, when it gets back into the, oh, it's rigged for them, that's when you know everybody's saying, uh-oh, whoops, we counted them out too quick, and I cannot wait for that to happen.
I know teams lose big in Super Bowls all the time and fall off. I mean, I've seen it. Matt Ryan and Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I've seen teams fall short in a Super Bowl, get their ass kicked in a Super Bowl, just fall short in a Super Bowl. And then the teams come back to earth. The Patriots, the way they talk about the Patriots, and I've mentioned this before, yes, they did go 10 years without winning a Super Bowl. And so you're like, yeah, I mean, you know, like for their standard, it was worse than what you would expect. They didn't fall off of planet Earth. They played in two Super Bowls during that decade. They lost them,
yeah,
but they played in two Super Bowls during that time. Their records in the time, in those, like, oh, they went a decade without winning it. They missed the playoffs because their starting quarterback got injured for the season. They lost in a wild card division round, lost in a Super Bowl, lost in two conference title games, then won a Super Bowl. So it's like, it's not as bad as you're making it seem during that time. They lost two Super Bowls, lost in two AFC championship games, went to the playoffs every year, won their division all of those years except for the 1 year Tom Brady got hurt. They won 11 games that year. During that time, they averaged 12 and a half wins. So, like, if you think the Chiefs are just falling off, that's not what happens to dynasties. That's not what happens to teams of this caliber. They win 12 games and lose in a divisional round for the first time. They don't just, like, don't matter. Like, they don't just fall off.
They aren't, not, the Chiefs aren't not going to matter until Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are gone. Like, they're always going, correct, to be in that until, yeah, both of them are no longer a part of the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't mean they're getting back to the Super Bowl this year, but just the way the narrative has been set this offseason, you would think suddenly they're going to be like the seventh seed or miss the play. I think Colin Cowherd yesterday.
He thinks they're going
to. Not Colin Cowherd. I'm sorry. What's the other guy's name? McIntyre.
That's another guy that just says stuff to say it.
Jason McIntyre said that the Chiefs will not make the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, just like, insane. Unless you're predicting that that Patrick Mahomes is going to miss 15 games or something.
Cowherd's, you can't picking actually them to lose the division, though.
But he's done that before. He's done that multiple times over the last couple of years. He picked the Chargers, I think, last year, the year before.
Picking the Broncos this year, yeah.
That's fine, whatever. I mean, you want to pick a different division winner, go ahead. But like, this idea of missing the playoffs, like, come on. You know, that's my thing. I can't stand. Like, you don't actually believe that. And we could have a completely different long conversation about that stuff. And like, I get, like, good for him. He makes a ton of money. Talking about McIntyre, I actually love Colin Cowherd. I think he's incredible. Jason McIntyre, making good money and all that. I just don't know how, like, how, is that enjoyable? Just like coming up with BS every day,
there's no way you possibly believe.
Like, I just look. I get it. Those are all the guys that are on national television and stuff these days. Whatever, you know. That's apparently what works. So, you know,
it's an estimated net worth of $3 million. So I guess if they want me to,
yeah,
they want to pay me $3 million to start saying crazy stuff.
Well, McIntyre started the big lead or whatever back in the day. I think that was his thing, right? I think that's where he made his money. I could be wrong.
Got it. He probably makes hundreds of thousands of dollars being sidekick on college.
I just think there's no way you believe half the bleep that you're saying if you're him. Anyway, all right, too much time on him. Don't forget, coming up, a red roundtable out at Hollywood Casino Friday, August 29th at 6:00. Mitch Holthus, Danon Hughes, going to get you filled with all kinds of Chiefs knowledge for the start of the season. Free and open to the public. You do have to be 21 or older. Of course, it is Hollywood Casino. Q&A plus meet and greet. Hope to see you guys there on Friday, August 29th. Let's talk a little bit more about Rashee Rice. We got a little more clarity, perhaps, at least with why the hearing is not happening till the 30th. And that is because the judge that's going to be overseeing the disciplinary hearing, frankly, she's not available till September 30th.
Busy woman.
She's got a lot of stuff going on. It is true. Like, she's a judge, so she's obviously got other more important things too.
Or other cases.
That's what I mean. Like, you're telling me they can't pay her to come in on a Saturday night and just meet in the league office and square this thing?
Like, offer up a quarter meal and just be like, can you come on down?
Or whatever. Like,
so you knock us out.
Like, does it have to be on a Tuesday at 4:00 in the afternoon? It can't just be like,
operating
everybody
hours.
Involved in this situation. Some of them already are in New York. Otherwise, Rashee Rice can get on a jet and get to New York City pretty quickly, and his representation can, and they can get this thing hopefully
done
in about 5 hours.
Like, I'm just asking, can this not be a Zoom hearing? We can't find, and that's the other part. I told you the Deshaun Watson one took 3 days. So here's part of the problem, Gold, is that you probably have to plan like this is 8 hours a day, multiple days in a row. Do I think his case should take that long? No, but as much time as they're given, he's going to have character witnesses, people who have been talking about what he's been doing on and off the field since the accident. The NFL is going to present evidence on people that were injured in the act. Like, it's going to be a whole thing. And if you go through the whole dog and pony show, which is clearly why he did this, it's going to take some time. My fear is that once we got more clarification, I think it's pretty obvious the NFL wanted, like they always do, a more severe penalty. The player and the NFLPA, which I think is of note, wants a less severe penalty. Last time, the judge sided on the way, 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 way less severe for Deshaun Watson. But there was more hearsay in that case. There's more criminal stuff that took place in this one. It's a little more black and white.
The facts are kind of the facts at this point.
Yeah.
It's more, though, of what's the...
What's like, a fair punishment knowing the other things you've done in this case before? He's exercising his right to have himself heard
the CBA
by an
allows
independent
him to.
Arbiter, which means the NFL wanted 8 games. That's my stance.
Or
the
at least... Put it this way. Definitely wanted more games than he wanted. You know, maybe
which meant it's more than four. Because if it was four, I think he would just take it.
I think so. Unless they really think they have a way to talk this thing down. But I'm kind of with you there.
Four? Talk it down from four?
I'm kind of with you. And that's why when we saw the hearing news yesterday, I'm like, that doesn't seem good. Meaning the NFL wanted to lay the hammer down. But the fact that it's happening September 30th, again, does not mean that the next day we find out he's suspended. I'm more and more now, as this 24 hours has gone by, I think there's a chance he plays like the first 6 weeks.
I think there's like a 5 or 10% chance he doesn't get suspended at all this year.
Mm, wow. Well, that would
like,
be,
I don't think that that's likely. That is certainly the underdog in this situation, but it took her 2 months to decide what punishment. And then the NFL appealed. So if she says, I've looked at the evidence and I believe based on this evidence, Rashee Rice deserves 3 games, the NFL can then still appeal that is too short of a suspension,
they have
to go through this process in a different way.
They can, but I wonder if the NFL would this go around.
Just
because,
take it.
Because
it's not as
that, the Deshaun Watson thing was a much bigger story, even though not criminal. He was not charged criminally or certainly not convicted, but it was more civil stuff. And obviously, we all are well aware of the circumstances around that. That was a little more of like the PR battle was not good for the NFL for that one. And I'm not saying an NFL player getting 2 felony charges is good either in Rashee Rice's case, but nationally, Rashee Rice is not nearly the conversation. CNN.
I mentioned her only because she handled the last
CNN and Fox News and ABC. All these outlets were talking about the Deshaun Watson thing. I mean, it was a true story on every outlet. Other than sports channels, now nobody else is talking about Rashee Rice.
Someone says they can't afford a judge over in the 86, so they just slashed their smelling salts budget. They can't afford a judge. They couldn't even afford smelling salts for their players. I really tried to do research, Drew. I was ready to... I couldn't find actual evidence for the things people are suggesting, which was Mike Brown was the person who started this conversation, in which case I do think it would have been about money. Because I feel like he's probably spending like $40,000 or something a year on smelling salts.
Out of all of the owner, in terms of NFL money, he is extremely poor compared to the other owners in the league. One of the things that's... kind of, I don't know if it can happen.
Why
don't
you sell the team, you know? Just because, be super rich. Sell them.
Yeah,
who cares?
I don't think Mike Brown will
ego,
ever sell it.
Ego, you want to be part of the club, all of that.
He's the second poorest, the poorest, because the Packers are rated last year.
Wow.
He's the poorest.
I think Mike Brown is a lot, in a way, not in terms of the basis of the franchise, it's family. I mean, it's like the Chiefs Kingdom
legacy.
Stuff, you know, it's a legacy thing with the Hunt family. It's a legacy thing with the Brown family going back to Paul Brown. About the Rashee thing. Does the NFL, by all of this stuff that's happened between the Deshaun Watson stuff and the Rashee stuff and the Addison stuff, how everything seems to be different, are they just going to continue going case by case, or is there any way that they can come together with a set of, if these are the things that happen to you, this is the suspension that you get? Or is it just, are they always going to take it case by case?
Do that for DUI and a couple of things.
I don't think you can. I mean, if you're just even a criminal case, like it's, I don't think you can do that in the NFL. So many different, situations with factors, each thing. Like, it's not as cut and dry as we all want to make it out to be with any of this stuff.
DUI is a set number that they negotiated. Like, they've agreed to four games on that instead of standard. They suspended Justin Tucker for the exact same amount of time they suspended Deshaun Watson. So they can follow precedent in doing it. The problem is, to Gold's point,
that's it. Essentially,
in domestic violence cases, in criminal cases that involve speeding, there are variants. If it's just, we suspend you six games because you drove 140 miles an hour, well, then Jordan Addison would be suspended.
Yeah, then they can have like a bullet point.
For driving super fast and cause bodily harm, or cause, like in Rugg's case, a death. Or any, like,
wow,
they
if it's a death, you're just not worried about getting suspended. You're in jail.
Yeah.
I know, but like, they can't, they're not going to parse it down like that. I think there's like a baseline that if your case is very similar to somebody else's, they're just going to give you the same number of games they gave somebody else. Okay. But if it's got complications, which I think Rashee Rice's does, they're probably going to end up in these arbitrations a lot because it's not a perfect situation.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also have a little All 32 here on Cody and Gold.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.